And all God's people said,
Amen.
We continue this morning in our Lenten series of letting go, remembering that there are things in our lives that distract us from living into the fullness of the relationship that God has offered us. So we've talked about letting go of our pride. We've talked about letting go of envy. And this morning, I invite us to talk about letting go of anger. Letting go of anger. And I invite us, as we think about letting go, to remember that if we let something go, we also have to fill it back with something in order that we can truly let it go. So as we let something go, we find something in our lives to replace it with. So we let go of something that's harmful to our relationship with God, and we replace it with something that helps us grow closer to God. So I invite you to hear from the Gospel of John, the second chapter, a story of a time when Jesus himself was angry. Will you hear now God's word, John chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" Jesus, though, was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This, friends, is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. So the grouchy ladybug does go up to everybody. "Hey, you want to fight?" Sometimes, friends, I feel like that's how we live our lives. Sometimes I feel like everywhere we go, we're wanting to pick a fight with someone. We're wanting to adamantly disagree with somebody about something. We want to find fault in someone else that's in front of us. And we walk around like the grouchy ladybug, holding all the anger, all the tension, all the hate, all the frustration, holding it all inside of us. "Hey, you want to fight?" We find Jesus in sort of that same spot. Jesus enters the temple. He enters the Temple Mount, which, if you've been to Israel, the Mount of Olives is on top of a mountain, and just in at the top of that mountain is the temple. And multiple times a year, the Jewish people make a pilgrimage to the temple in order that they can worship God in God's fullness, that they can be in God's presence in the temple. For them, that was central to their understanding of who God is, that they needed to be in the temple in order to fully worship. So that's the context in which Jesus is coming to. This is the Passover celebration. And so the folks from all over are making their pilgrimage. They're making their travel to the temple in order that they can worship. Well, one of the things that's important for you to do when you come to the temple is to sacrifice something. Well, it's probably impractical for them to bring the animals that they have to sacrifice at the temple. It's impractical to bring that with you from whatever distance that you're having to travel in order to get to the temple. And so over the years, a system had been set up for people to buy and purchase the animals right outside of the temple. Sounds easy enough. We know we need to go there. We know we need to sacrifice an animal. So we'll just make our purchase right there. So imagine this. Here's the temple. Here's all the people coming from everywhere. And then here's all these animals that are out for purchase in order that they can be taken up to the temple to sacrifice, to worship God. So the other thing that's happening is that you have to pay a tax when you go to the temple. And so you have to have money in order to pay this tax or to pay the money to sort of worship and honor God in the midst of this sacrificial celebration. Well, foreign currency isn't acceptable. And so wherever you've traveled from, you've got to get the money, the currency that's appropriate for the temple. And so there are money changers out in the middle of this crowd. So in the middle of all of these animals that are for sale so that you can find one that you can sacrifice, there's also people out there to exchange money. You know, if you've been overseas, you know what a currency exchange place looks like in a contemporary culture. There's just this little box and you go up to the person and you tell them what you want and there's an exchange of money. So imagine that's happening outside on the Mount of Olives, right outside the temple. So we've got a lot of people there, we've got a lot of smelly animals there, and we've got a lot of money, all in one place. And Jesus comes in and is quite angry at the disrespect that he sees that's going on. He pulls out a whip and begins to drive out the animals to shush them out of here. He goes up to the money changers and he takes their coins and throws them as far as he possibly can. And he tells his people, stop making my father's house a marketplace. Stop disrespecting my father's house. Come here to worship. Stop disrespecting. Jesus was rightly angry. Jesus's anger, though, was at a system. At a system that had yielded to abuse and disrespect. That over time, the sacrificial animals and the money changing, that's what everybody sought as the most important thing to happen when you came to the temple. And Jesus was speaking out in anger to the system. Jesus was speaking out in anger to what was going on outside. Jesus said, "What?" Jesus is pointing people to the inside. Jesus is pointing people to the Father. Jesus is pointing people to God. This worship isn't about this sacrifice. This worship isn't about the exchange of money. This worship is about God. And that's where Jesus' anger comes from. Jesus' anger has been called righteous indignation. Righteous indignation. He felt the system that was going on outside of the temple was not right. It was harmful. It was distracting. And Jesus spoke out to that power in what we might call a tantrum or pitching a fit. Jesus did those things to speak out to power, to speak out to a system. Friends, there are times in our lives that we are called to be like Jesus and to have some righteous indignation, to speak out to systems of power, to speak out when we see abuse, to speak out when we see racism, to speak out against human trafficking, to speak out against school shootings, to speak out against violence. And the list could go on and on and on. We are called to be like Jesus, to look at those systems and know that something is wrong and something needs to be corrected. However, our grouchy ladybug side isn't usually angry at a system. a grouchy ladybug side that's going up and wanting to pick out a fight with others doesn't usually have anything to do with what Jesus' anger was about. Usually our anger is a result of someone offending us, someone betraying us, someone saying something untrue about us, someone getting a promotion that we didn't get, someone saying something about our child or our parent or our relative. We get angry about those things. We get angry when we see somebody post something on Facebook, and it just stirs up all that grouchiness inside of us, and we say, "Hey, you want to fight?" And then we say, "Well, Jesus was angry. Jesus pitched a fit. Jesus had a temper tantrum. So sure enough, it's fine for me to do the same thing." I feel like times, friends, we use Jesus' example that is speaking out against a system, against an injustice, we use that to rationalize and justify our own behavior. And our own behavior is quite different from what Jesus was responding to in the cleansing of the temple. Several weeks ago, I asked you the things that you needed to let go of in order that you could grow closer in your relationship with God. This is how you described anger: retribution, judgment, revenge, hot-headed, tempered, grudges. These are the things, friends, that we need to let go of. This is not the kind of anger that Jesus was exhibiting. These expressions of anger are angers that is held so deeply inside of us that we need to free ourselves and let go of that in order that we can grow closer and closer and closer to God. Now, anger's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, anger is an emotional experience that all of us respond to. All of us can get angry. I remember a lesson that I taught for youth one time, and it was so profound for me that I've kind of stuck to these images. These images of our four responses to anger. And as you listen, I want you to think about who you are and where you find yourself. When we get angry, there tend to be four ways that we respond. Some of us are clams. We get angry and we hold it all in. We stuff it down, deep down into the tips of our toes. We're clams, bringing it all inside. Some of us are martyrs. Some of us, when we become angry, we want to everybody around us to know how horrible it's been, and we want to call poor, pitiful me. Look what somebody's done to me. Look how they've offended me. Look how they've hurt me. And we want to go to everybody we know. We're the martyr. Some of us are time bombs. We're time bombs just waiting for the moment of anger to happen so that we can explode, so that we can go off, so that we can set our anger into an emotional and sometimes a physical reaction. Some of us are avengers. We hold grudges well. We desire to get even with the people who have wronged us or mistreated us. So there's clams, martyrs, time bombs, and avengers. And my guess is that all of us can find a place that we probably most clearly identify with when we become angry. Maybe some of us are a mixture of a couple of those different responses to anger. And here's what I think should be said to us. It's the scripture that Hallie read to us from the book of James that says this. Let me read it again. "You must understand this, my beloved children. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank, growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. So it's okay to be angry. But the book of James invites us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Quick to listen. Quick to listen means that we engage in dialogue. We engage in conversation. We engage in an opportunity to build a relationship. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to let those words of anger and wrath come out of our mouths. And slow to anger. The other thing, the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 26, says this. Be angry. Be angry. But do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. So be angry, friends. But do not sin. Do not let your anger cause you to act out in some sort of way that is sinful, that is damaging to your soul, to your life, and to your relationship with God. My mother used to always tell me not to go to bed angry. Don't go to bed mad, she would say. And that comes straight from the book of Ephesians. We are invited not to let the sun go down on our anger. To not let the day close without somehow freeing ourselves of the anger that clings to us. And we're invited to take hold of the implanted word that was given to us that has the power to save our souls. That's what Jesus was desiring for the people outside of the temple. Jesus was desiring to point them towards God. Because it's God that has the potential to save our souls. And so instead of getting angry, might we turn our hearts towards reconciliation and forgiveness. Because that, friends, is the place that God does God's best work. God stretched God's arms out on a cross to embrace the sins of this world, to embrace the anger, the hurt, the hate of this world, to offer a path for forgiveness, for you and for me. That is the implanted word. The power of forgiveness that God and Jesus Christ offers to us. Even when we're angry, even when we're sinners, God proved God's love to us because God gave us God's Son. So today, Today, as we come to the table, to remember that God freely broke God's life in the power and the body of Jesus for us, for our salvation, that we might be made whole, that our anger might be transformed into reconciliation, into forgiveness, and into love for our brothers and sisters. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not make room for the devil. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. During this season of Lent, I invite us to let go. To let go. So that we can let God teach us the depth of forgiveness through the power of the cross. I invite you to find your United Methodist hymnal and turn to page number 8. As I conclude the sermon this morning, I want to invite us into a time of confession. Page number 8, there's a confessional prayer that's printed there that I invite us to pray together. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love, and we have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, hear this good news. Christ died for us all while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.